Hello, this is Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast. Today's guest is Zach Bush. Zach is the coach of the Aftershocks. They play Florida TNT at 11 a.m. Saturday on ESPN in Dayton. Zach, of course, played for the Shockers from 2012 to 17. He is an assistant coach at Andover High School, coaching up the Trojans. The Aftershocks are in the final eight of the basketball tournament after defeating expats, Omaha Blue Crew, and Team Challenge ALS at Coke Arena last week. So, Zach, you've had a few days to kind of come down from the highs and assess the regional. What jumps out at you about the three wins for the Aftershocks?
They were all tough. You know, you assume now that you're coaching these guys in this setting, kind of all the games are going to be offensive, you know, shoot it out and, you know, see who can score the most points. But it kind of came down to us being who we've always been as Wichita State teams, which is tough and gritty, defensive battles, having to get consecutive stops, big time rebounds. I was really proud of our guys. You know, we were unfortunately without Darryl Willis all week, and rebounding and size was going to be an issue for us. And it actually never ended up being an issue. We seemed to rebound really well. Our guys fought, were tough, just continued to battle. And then we had just great performances, like outside of scoring points, Zach Brown and Marcus McDuffie and Rashard Kelly were unbelievable defensively. And then Demonte Dodd really seemed to find ways to impact the game by blocking shots and rebounding once he got comfortable. So it was a lot of fun. And like you said, kind of coming down off of a high from the week.
Yeah, Rashard averaged 10 rebounds a game, and then it was a lot of rebounding by committee. Had a lot of guys pitching in after that. I really enjoyed that trio you mentioned, Rashard and Marcus McDuffie and Zach Brown. Did you, and I know you talked about going small, you know, in the run-up to the tournament, did you anticipate them playing together that much and them having the kind of impact that they did?
I really didn't. You know, you write things down and you have an idea of how things are going to go, but until all of your players are in Wichita and you're in a game situation, you know, that first game, we put all three of those at a point together and decided that was kind of our best group with those three and then probably Connor and Tyrus. And we quickly then realized, like, yeah, these three have to play together. They share the ball so well offensively. None of those guys are ego guys. They understand, you know, how much Connor means to this team and offensively how much of a load he carries. But then defensively, it was just I felt so much pride just as their former teammate and then, you know, coaching them in this, that they would, you know, dig in defensively the way they did. And their switches late in games, they were physical. They switched up the floor. They were aggressive. And they care about winning. You see a lot of teams in this who kind of, yeah, they want to win, but they're just kind of out here. And I don't think they understand the effort and how intentional you have to be about certain things if you want to win in this. And that's what I was so proud of. We talked about it before the game, and you never know if these guys are listening or not. You hope they are, but the way I saw them compete and the effort that they gave, and it was just really cool to see.
And I know you're a young coach, so I'll give you a tip. Next time somebody asks you, is that what you envisioned? You say, yes, 100%.
Always.
That was the master plan.
I'm too honest.
Yes, yes. Tell us about the routine this week for the Aftershocks. How does the team get prepared and head out to Dayton?
It's tough. These other regionals kind of have a little bit more of a benefit than we do. They're playing, and then they pretty much go right to Dayton from if they win this. Us, you know, on the other hand, we don't have that luxury. You know, we have this break. We can't financially, one, afford to keep all these guys in hotel rooms in Wichita, and two, you know, we don't want to. We want them to be able to go back home and see their families because this time is so valuable and precious for them when they spend, you know, 9 months of the year across the world. So everybody's gone home other than the obvious ones like Connor, Samaje, Rashard's been here and then been down in Tulsa with his girlfriend Paige. But everybody, we're just kind of trusting to be at home to work on their games, and they're professionals. So you don't really have to worry about guys getting out of shape. But we'll leave on Thursday and fly. Everybody will fly into Dayton. We'll get together Thursday and practice. We'll practice together again on Friday, and then we'll end up playing on Saturday.
What will the roster look like? Pretty similar to what we saw in Wichita?
Yeah, the roster will be exactly what you saw in Wichita, minus the only issue is it looks like Zach Brown is going to be having to leave to go to Germany to report. He couldn't get them to push back his report time, so we're working on trying to find a addition for him, someone to replace him. Obviously, we'd like it to be a Shocker first, but at this point, when you're trying to win money, you know, you're gonna try to do what's best for the group. And we definitely, you know, lean on Connor and Richard as our team leaders of, you know, this is your team. This isn't Zach or Ron's or JR's or Garrett's. This is your guys' show. What do you want to do? So we defer to them and we just try to make it work for the group.
I know you mentioned fundraising, and I've seen Ron's Baker's been doing a little bit of that on social media. This might be a good time. If people want to help out, if they want to get involved, how do they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. We started a GoFundMe. This tournament is expensive. We're fortunate where we play in our hometown. So we do, you know, for regional wise, but we do a lot of fundraising and have some sponsorship opportunities that we have with local businesses. And that was great for our time here in Wichita. But now, you know, that money's kind of dried up. What was put into that to take care of our players. So we hated to do it. We don't want to be that group that's always needing something, but just getting our guys to Dayton and making sure they were taken care of while there. We started a GoFundMe page that Ron had posted. And I know there was some confusion on if it was real, and absolutely was real. But it is on our Facebook page, our official team Aftershocks Facebook page. We have the link on there. And just want to say a huge thank you to all of our fans. They've been incredibly generous, and we don't expect anyone to donate. We're just very grateful for anyone who would want to. And any amount is, you know, nothing's too little, too small. We appreciate everything. And we've already raised about $10,000. So that's going to be huge for our guys. And then continuing going forward, guys want to play in this if they know that they're taken care of, and, you know, they don't want to spend a ton of money out of their own pockets, because a lot of them still aren't making a ton of money overseas. That, you know, money's, you know, very precious, and we're trying not to make it so they have a ton of out-of-pocket expenses. So this will go a long way into getting all of our guys to Dayton, making sure they're taken care of in the hotels, and then eating the right way.
Excellent, excellent. Money matters. Connor Frankamp, he was just fabulous for all three games. And not only did he play some great basketball, he really looked like he was just having the time of his life. And I don't know that, you know, Wichita State fans would have always said that about him. He just kind of has an even-keeled, you know, kind of I don't know, what word, dour expression. Why do you think he enjoyed himself so much?
I think just this group, we have a special group of guys that really enjoy being around one another. And not that that's so much different than before, but, it's just a special environment getting to play back in front of your fans again, with Coach Brown there. I know the guys just have so much love and, respect for him and his support, the way he was around this whole week. He was around us a ton. But I really think just the whole group, it's like you said, I grew up with Connor, so I've seen a lot of Connor Frankamp. I've seen a lot of Connor Frankamp basketball, and I've never seen him with that much joy during a game or a game winner. So that was just really exciting to see. And all these guys have talked about, Connor included. Connor sent a text the other day of like, man, I've had so much fun this week. This has been, you know, not to be corny, but one of the most fun weeks of my life. And I don't want it to end. Like, let's go win this thing. Don't want the journey to stop. But it just goes back to the relationships these guys all have, and how much they enjoy spending time with one another.
Yeah, he was excellent. Let's see, he averaged 16 points. He led the team with 12 assists. He made 10 of 21 threes. And I thought, you know, his defense, I thought late in that game against Team Challenge ALS, they really hunted him on the pick and roll stuff. And I thought he held up pretty well. He was just really good all three games.
Yeah, he was. A lot of times, you know, you find the weak link, and especially in TBT, it's a lot about matchups and attacking that certain matchup. But he did a great job of fighting. Everybody knows what Connor is. You know, he's not an exceptional defensive stopper, and it wasn't, you know, he didn't win the genetic lottery. He's not overly athletic or long or, you know, strong, but he fights and he works. And that was really cool to see. He didn't just give in. He had a play, I want to say it was late in the second half against ALS. Their point guard, you know, kind of tried to bully him to the rim, and he ended up blocking his shot. And he's rebounded well, putting his body on the line. And that's hard to get guys to do in this when they have a professional season coming up. They, a lot of times, you know, are going to protect their body first, but he's really battled. And that's been great to see, because he wants to win, obviously.
Marcus McDuffie, he was the team dance MVP with his moves at the bracket when he took the placard. Did you pick him for that? Did he just grab that? How did that unfold?
It always seems to work that way with Marcus. We don't ever choose Marcus for those things, but it just ends up being him because he has such an infectious personality. There's not a person that would meet Marcus McDuffie and dislike him. He's the most likable, kind, good-hearted human being, and he just loves to have fun. And so I think that bracket tag kind of found him. And he started something either that first or second game, and then it carries over to the next one. And then it just becomes the Marcus show. And Marcus was always the one in college who was dancing in the locker room and who we'd take videos of and just being goofy. So he's hilarious and would like to see that dance come out one more time here in Dayton.
He was really good. If you haven't seen that on social media, it's worth checking out after the victories. Rashard Kelly was also very, very good. You know, when he showed these playmaking skills at Wichita State, but I also always remember, well, he was playing with, I guess, three NBA guards and Connor Francamp. So it wasn't like they needed his playmaking skills a lot. Boy, he was really good for the aftershocks. How much have you seen his game improve since Wichita State?
Quite a bit. I think his confidence and his maturity in his game, he doesn't second guess himself, but part of that is he also doesn't try to do too much. He still knows what he does well. I think you see at times guys will leave for professional basketball and they try to make this point of, you know, coach, you know, wherever they played, coach didn't let me do this and I can. And they just are so desperate to prove that. And when that may not be their game, you know, Rashard absolutely has expanded his game and does more than he did here, but he also still does all of those things that he did here well. You know, later in his career at Wichita State, you saw him, the coaches allowed him to push the break. If he could rebound and run, you know, and not take time to have to outlet it, he makes such good decisions and can really handle the basketball. So he did that. And it's been invaluable having him on our team because we can put him in the middle of the floor and go five out and kind of play through him almost a Draymond Green style, but he impacts the game in so many ways. So he's, like I said, his confidence has grown. I think he shoots the ball a little bit better than he did while he was here, but he's just matured into an incredible pro and is professional on and off the floor.
You've got a star-studded assistant coaching crew with Garrett Stutz, Ron Baker, J.R. Simon. I guess you've signed Fred VanVleet to like a temporary coaching deal there for the Omaha Blue Crew game. He seemed very, very willing to hand out advice. Break down the roles of the assistant coaches on the bench. Who's doing what for you over there?
I mean, all the guys do so much. I think that's one thing everybody should know is it's none of us have egos and are like, this is my team. And everybody needs to know I'm the coach. When we started this with this group, we all wanted to make it clear that everyone had equal value, equal say. Like I may have the title of head coach and Ron may have the title of GM, but those guys do just as much and have just as much of a voice as I do. And so they've been great. Stutz has been awesome, creating some ATOs and some X and O drops of things that we can put in on the fly. He's got a great basketball mind, so he's brought a lot to the table. JR was great this week with stats, defensive breakdowns, all those kind of things. And Ron, this whole time, and I have kind of been the ones trying to handpick the roster, make all the organizational stuff work. But each of those guys, you know, has a great basketball mind. So they each bring a lot to the table. And it's not like it's just they have one role. We all kind of do this thing together and we all trust one another. So I had them, you know, this whole week, they handled substitutions. I was like, you guys do the subbing. I'll focus on the game and, you know, adjustments. And if you guys have anything, hit me with it. And so, I mean, if you paid attention, you'd see Ron at times sitting down and drawing something up or, you know, Stutz sitting down and drawing up an ATO coming out of a timeout. And then Fred, you know, this whole time when we had first talked about this, he had, you know, said to JR and I, like, I'm willing to be as involved as you guys want me to be. And we, you know, have such a good relationship and friendship. It was like, yes, please. Like, listen, there's no egos. Like, come on, we know you know more than us. So anytime. And I think before the first game, I leaned over and was like, if you have anything you see, like whisper in my ear, tell me. And so he did more so in the second game, but I kept turning around to him at times when we couldn't get a stop. It seemed like against Creighton, like, what do we do? And he kept having to be the one to calm me down, like, it's going to be all right. And then when Marcus got his technical, he's the one I turned around to. And I told him, I think I said, like, ESPN must have bleeped it out. I said, I think expletive, I'm going to kill him. And he kept being the one. He's like, we're going to be all right. We're going to find a way. He was that calm presence, and then also had some great ideas at halftime. He always stopped, and the five of us would stop and talk about adjustments and who needed to be where, maybe some substitution patterns that probably needed to change. And he's great. And it's just the benefit of this is having such great friends that you can bring in, and it's not having to beg people to be a part of this. Guys love one another, so they want to be around and they want to do this.
Ed, did at any point did Ron or Fred name drop like, yeah, this is a play I used to run with Carmelo, or we got Kawhi open a lot on this play? Did they ever just kind of, you know, name drop like that?
No, I wish. I would have liked that even more if they had, but it was a lot of things that I think we all kind of have learned from professional basketball, either watching or playing. You know, there's, you know, common terminology among things. And, you know, I'd say, you know, I think we need to be in some Spain actions, and Ron, oh yeah, we ran, you know, a lot of Spain action when, you know, we had this guy in the game and some things like that, but no stars were mentioned of how to get them shots. I don't know if we have any guys whose games correlate quite to those two that you mentioned.
Who had the best suggestion?
It's honestly hard to pick at different times. They all honestly came through, and I know that's the cop out easy answer. I'd give all of them equal credit. Garrett drew up a great out of bounds, getting the ball in off of a sideline out of bounds, and we threw a backdoor to Connor to win the game against ALS, which ended up getting called off by a charge, but would have won the game. But that was Garrett's draw up. JR's been, you know, incredible this whole time, both his relationships with the guys, his ideas, and then Ron obviously has played at such a high level. There's little things that he'll tweak that, you know, make a world of difference. And the guys, I think, trust us and have bought in. It doesn't matter who says what, their ears are perked. They're listening, and they've gone out and done what we've asked.
There was a moment, I went back in my notes, I couldn't find it, late in the ALS game, where I think someone called a timeout to kind of save a possession. And I looked at the bench, and you guys kind of had a look of relief, maybe slapping hands with Ron. Am I remembering this right? Do you know what I'm talking about?
So Marcus ended up having the ball, kind of a broken transition, and everybody kind of gets back, and Marcus kind of starts going Marcus and is a little wild with the ball. And I'm in my head like, oh my gosh, we need to call a timeout. And I'm so locked in, I can't get the words. And Ron comes up and starts tapping me like, call it, call it, call it. So I yell timeout, we call it, because only players can call timeouts in FIBA rules. Players can't. So after he did that, you know, he'll turn and gave a fist bump like, whew, good call.
That was what I saw. I always thought that was one of Greg Marshall's big assets. He had a real knack of saving timeouts and calling him when somebody was trapped or something like that. That's kind of what that moment reminded me of. Florida TNT, they also won three games here at Coke Arena last week. Really good three-point shooting team. Like you and Ron have said, this tournament is a lot about guards. What challenges does Florida TNT present?
A lot. Like you said, they can shoot the basketball first and foremost. Great shot makers, play well together. Got a couple athletes that play the forward spots for them. Dominique Jones is, you know, probably he may not have always played like it in this tournament, but he's their guy. He plays in a great league in China, makes a couple million dollars a year, and is built like just a man. He'll be a tough match for us. Very strong, gets it done, but their guards absolutely make them go. But they've got bigs that are extremely physical. This may be the most physical team we've played up to this point. ALS was very big and physical, and I thought we matched their toughness really well and didn't back down from the challenge. So I think it's going to be similar style of they're going to play hard and they're going to challenge us on the interior, but their guards are great creators, great shot makers, and definitely make them go.
Dominic Jones played at South Florida, so Shocker fans may remember him. Kenny Boynton from University of Florida has been very good for them, and so is Christopher Warren from Mississippi. So they've got some talent. Last thing, Zach, tell us a little bit about getting into coaching, into high school coaching. You spent a year, right, at East Tennessee State with Steve Forbes. Tell us why you've chosen this path.
It was a long road after getting out of college. Didn't quite know what I wanted to do, like I'm sure a lot of people my age when you leave college. Spent some time in medical device sales, then decided I wanted to get back into basketball because it was what I knew and what I loved. Fortunately, Steve Forbes brought me on as a GA for his staff for the 1920 season. Had a great year out there. And then he got the Wake Forest job. And so I think I had learned over the course of that year, I love basketball so much, but not to the point, maybe college basketball is tough. You have to sacrifice a lot for that, especially time with family. And for those that know me, know that I'm extremely close with my brother, my parents, my circle here in Wichita, being from here, is extremely close. So I really missed home. So I thought, you know, the right balance was going to be getting to be around the game, but not quite in the capacity that college basketball, you know, provides, where it's, you know, constant year round recruiting and moving around a lot. So I think high school, I had already spent a little bit of time coaching at my alma mater at Eisenhower, and then this previous year at May South. So I decided I was going to take after my mother, who's a high school PE teacher and coach, and went ahead and entered a master's program to get my teaching license, and was just really fortunate. Jacob Herr's father had reached out to me, and I kind of took over his spot. He'd been a coach and PE teacher at Andover for quite a while. And I thought that was just going to be a great balance. I love that age group. I love high school kids. It was one of the most fun times in my life. So I think I can offer a unique perspective to them, and then just to serve them and help them become the people that they want to become going forward.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.